This week's suspected poison gas attack in Syria was beyond shocking. Dozens of Syrians killed, including children. And it was a reminder, too, of why millions of displaced Syrians can't go back home right now. It's just too dangerous. So Syrians continue going to Europe, but many are also living in refugee camps in countries that neighbor Syria, like the massive Zaatari camp in Jordan. The World's Shirin Jafari went there recently, and as she discovered, it's not what you might think when you think refugee camp. There are markets inside the camp that sell fresh produce. They sit along the camp's main thoroughfare, called the Champs-Élysées, proudly named after the Paris Boulevard. It's a starting point in Zaatari for a tour of the camp that Shirin is now going to take us on. So, here we go.
There are avocados here.
Thousands of refugees, tents, and a big open desert. 5 years ago, this was Zaatari. Today, you can find avocados here.
Fresh vegetables?
Everything.
The tents are gone. The refugees haven't. Instead of tents, there are rows and rows of trailers. About 80,000 people live here. It's so big, you can see it from space. This part of the camp is bustling with life. Generators buzz away. Bicycles swish by. But 5 years of life in limbo, and these Syrians have started fresh. The refugees I meet are not sitting on their hands. They want a livelihood. They want to be independent and live like they used to in Syria, with dignity.
Tell me your name.
I'm Abdel Nasser Hamada.
27-year-old Hamada is hanging out with his friends on the side of the road. He's wearing a red Nike shirt. He has a kind of a beard thing going on. He left Syria 4 years ago because of the war.
What did you study?
Study engineering in Zarqa University.
He studied engineering, but never got to finish. Instead, he had to get himself, his wife, and his two-year-old daughter across the border to Jordan. They made it to Zaatari.
Yeah.
A year went by, then another, and another. Life in the camp started to feel permanent. The best way to put his engineering skills to use, Hamada thought, was to open a store.
I have phones and speakers, headphones and laptop and hard disk and flash. You have everything.
What do people need the hard disk and flash drive for? What do they use it for?
Students.
Students. There are 9 schools in this refugee camp. And as for cell phones, they're cherished here. It's the only way for the refugees to connect to family and friends in Syria and to get the latest news about the war. There are a variety of shops on Champs-Élysées, like the one with the big poofy ball gowns in the window. They're red, yellow, blue, with sequins and all. Umm Muhammad owns this store. She says she rents the dresses out for weddings. She buys them from Amman, an hour and a half away. She has turned this trailer into a one-stop, get-everything-you-need boutique for the brides in Zaatari. She was a hairdresser back in Syria, and so when she opened the bridal shop, she added on a hair salon in the back. There are 2 chairs and a large mirror. Arabic music plays in the background. You can get everything done here, she says. Highlights, updos, blowouts. She says she sold a gold ring and a bracelet to get her business started. I ask how she feels about that. It's okay, she says. I have a job, no? I'm happy I'm making a living. Further down from Umm Muhammad's store is a restaurant, and it's where I sit down with Mahmoud Abu Dalo. He works with the United Nations in Zaatari. We order chicken wraps. A couple of minutes later, a young boy places a dish on our white plastic table.
This is so pretty.
Forget all the images of chicken wraps you have in your mind for a second. This is a work of art. The wraps are sliced diagonally into smaller pieces. Tucked in between them are pickled beets. And
tomatoes, lemon, mayonnaise.
Is that mayonnaise? I thought it was yogurt.
Yes, it's mayonnaise.
Oh, that's a lot of mayonnaise.
Yes, a lot.
Anyway, Abu Dalo is an old-timer here. He's watched the camp grow from a couple of tents hastily put up in 2012 to the huge city it has become today.
At the beginning, we worked here 24/7. We were living like refugees here in the camp.
What was that like at night, for example?
In summer, it was too hot, and in winter, it's too cold.
It's been fascinating, he says, to watch all the businesses spring up in the camp. I ask him how the goods get in the camp. He says store owners can get permission to leave for a short time and get the material they need. Or they can coordinate with the people outside and they'll deliver the goods. But not everything comes from outside. Abu Muhammad is digging up earth in a small patch next to his trailer. By day, he's a guard for one of the NGOs. And in his spare time, he farms.
Oh, it's cauliflower.
He proudly shows his healthy-looking cauliflower, then cilantro, radishes, and onions. Remember, this used to be a desert. The United Nations chucked in small rocks to bed down the sand, to make it livable. So to grow cauliflower here is pretty darn impressive.
Is this for me?
Hello, good. Okay.
Shukran.
As we talk, Abu Muhammad picks out a bunch of cilantros and hands them to me. Eat, he says. My heart melts. Middle Eastern hospitality in a refugee camp. Jordan has a history of taking in refugees. Waves of them arrived over the years. Palestinians, Iraqis, more Palestinians, and now Syrians. Many have integrated into Jordanian society. They own big businesses and are very successful. So what about Zatari? What's its future? I asked Gavin White. He's with the United Nations Refugee Agency.
So the war has been going for 5 years, and this camp has been here for 5 years. Is it becoming permanent? Do people feel like, okay, maybe this is home?
Well, certainly one would imagine that in some form Zatari will remain. But we hope as soon as possible it ceases to be a refugee camp.
But at what point does a refugee camp cease to be a refugee camp? Where can the 80,000 Syrians living here go? At this point, no one really knows. Yes, things are a lot more comfortable in Zatari today compared to its first days. You can find avocados and wedding gowns. But one thing's for sure, it's not home. For the world, Shirin Jafari, Zatari Refugee Camp, Jordan.
If you want to see what the Zatari camp looks like, we've got you covered. Check out the pictures at PRI.org. The World comes to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH here in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.